your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. A deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Hello there. It is another super-sized edition of What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. If you are looking for the best ways to enjoy summer in Wisconsin, you're in the right place, because God knows the heat makes it feel like summertime now, doesn't it? We are going to get a preview of next Wednesday's Milwaukee Night Market, 1 week away from one of the best block parties in the city, including the fun Bark in the Dark, or no, Bark After Dark theme, where four-legged friends are part of the party. I've also got a comedy announcement and your chance to win Bailey Zimmerman tickets at the Wisconsin State Fair for the Country Stars show there. And if you're planning gallery night, it is coming up Friday night, also Saturday during the day, all around the city, historic Third Ward, also East Town, Walker's Point, and you are going to meet artists and gallery directors tonight from JK Art House, Kim Storage Gallery, and find out what the Skylight Music Theater has planned for gallery night. Also going to take you to Shakespeare in the Park. The Free Theater is back this summer, and Optimist Theater does a great job. I think it's almost 20 years that this summertime tradition has happened, so you will find out about a puppet-powered Richard III and what the Merry Wives of Windsor are up to with a preview that is just after the 7 o'clock news. And later, filmmaker Michael Jarre and Milwaukee High School of the Arts choral director Raymond Roberts, they are going to join me in the studio together because they are collaborating on a powerful documentary, Liberty at Stake, the Joshua Glover Story. And I think you'll be inspired about how students are involved in this documentary now. So it's 3 hours packed with art, music, theater, film, summer events, giveaways, and your voices, because as What's on Tap starts right now, with the heat, I want to start with a little bit of a delicious debate. Or maybe it's just not even a debate. Maybe it's just a shout out. During this Milwaukee heat wave, where is the best frozen custard in Wisconsin? And what's your go-to order? So not just your favorite spot. I know we all have them. Tempt my taste buds with the flavors that you just can't resist. Because, you know, when it is this hot outside, what's cool, satisfying, totally a treat for getting through the heat? I would say Wisconsin frozen custard. So where is the best place to get it? What's your go-to order? I want that order that makes you happy. Convince the rest of us listening that we want to try it. So get in on the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line safely, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620, your favorite frozen custard spot and what you like to get there. For me, I love Leon's. I love when you drive by in the wintertime and it's 10 below and there is still a line at Leon's. I love a tin roof sundae, but that seems kind of heavy. So I would go with a double dip of butter pecan on a regular cake cone and eat it quickly with several napkins handy. How about you? Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620. Isaac Marquardt, producer, he's got his headphones on. That means he doesn't mind participating. So what's your go-to frozen custard?
My favorite in the entire city is Cops maple syrup and pancakes flavor.
Ooh.
It's got the pieces of cake in it with the maple syrup custard. It's so good. We make a special note of when it's going to happen so we can buy like a half gallon of it to keep in the freezer.
That's smart. And I love that now all of the frozen custard stands tend to update their website or their social media with the flavors of the day. Wow, maple syrup and pancakes. That's creative. And I love that food is also creativity. So thank you for sharing. I want to hear your favorite frozen custard spot and tempt my taste buds like Isaac just did. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. Keeping you cool, at least with visions and fantasies of frozen custard and maybe a good late night drive-by on the way home. I got a text from 608, vanilla with strawberries. But you didn't tell me where you're getting vanilla with strawberries. And again, Isaac just perked up. So we want to know where that is, 608. So share in the fun. Let us know your favorite Wisconsin frozen custard spot and favorite thing to order there. And coming up next, we're talking everything Milwaukee Night Market, a free outdoor event showcasing a variety of local vendors, performers, and artists right here in the heart of downtown, one Wednesday each month this summer and fall, and an exclusive spotlight interview right here on What's on Tap, where you'll also find out how Bark After Dark, how that theme is going to come into play from Fromm Family Foods, where humans and pets are both welcome to the Big City Block Party next Wednesday. Stay with me for all the details next on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
It is time for a spotlight interview all about this season's Milwaukee Night Market. And joining me with your personal invitation and tons of fun details to help you make your plans for these special Wednesday night monthly events, live in the studio, Westtown Association Bid Number 5 Marketing and Events Director Megan Kajawa. Megan, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I am happy to see you.
Yes, me too.
And you have brought someone with you. I am excited and delighted to welcome from Fromm Family Foods, Brand Director Brian Neiman. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure, because I love that for each of the monthly Milwaukee Night Markets, there's a different theme. And you've got a really fun theme to kick off Milwaukee Night Market next Wednesday, July 22nd, Bark After Dark.
Yes. Very excited.
Tell us what Bark After Dark is going to entail, in addition to the usual blocks-long block party with vendors and entertainment. How is Bark After Dark going to flavor things?
Yeah, definitely. So we're very excited to partner with Fromm on this special theme night. It's going to be our first ever dog-focused theme night. So I'll let Brian get into a little bit more of what there will be, but we're going to have some special dog activities, dog vendors, and a lot of dog fun.
And it is fun to see people. I mean, this is one of the happiest events in our city, and we love our festivals here, but you see people who just got out of the office in their suit and dresses, and you see people who just came off the beach in flip-flops and shorts. I mean, it's all ages, all styles and smiles, just a happy vibe. Yeah, and I see a lot of people walking their dogs, too.
Yeah, we're no stranger to that. So we created Fromm Pet Fest down at the Milwaukee Lakefront for about 10 years. And now we're pivoting to more community-centric events that are out and about. So with sponsoring the Bark After Dark, we're gonna have a pre-party with the pets. So down at the Milwaukee Dog Park. So we're the main sponsor for the Milwaukee Dog Park. We're gonna start there at 4:30, and then we're gonna have some fun. Get the zoomies out with the dogs, right? And we're gonna take everybody from there, and we're all gonna walk down to Night Market together.
And that's it's one block away.
Yeah,
it's right there.
It's
Second and Plankton there.
Yeah, so party for us for half an hour. Then at 5 o'clock, we're going to walk down. We're going to give everyone who comes a free voucher for a free bag of Fromm Crunchios, too, that you can redeem at the VIP area, very important pets area at Night Market.
Where is the VIP, very important pets area going to be in the Night Market?
It's located next to the Milwaukee Symphony Center box office, so
sure.
Just in the alley west of the box office.
Oh,
there.
Fun. But see, I love that you're thinking how everyone can have the most fun, whether you've got four legs or two.
Yeah. Well, you all know all the pet parents and their pets are going to have the most fun. I mean,
definitely.
Can you imagine this is an entire swath of people with their dogs walking downtown, past all the big buildings, into night. I mean, that's just going to be an event, that alone.
And it's all the wiggles give such joy, you know, because I don't have pets anymore. But I used to go to Fromm Pet Fest down at the Summerfest grounds because I would like to be around all the fuzzy buddies. Like, hey, I'll get my fix and I'll, you know, get to pet some friends, see the adoptables.
At our height, we had like 10,000 dogs and everybody got along. Like, it was insane. Like, is this a dream? What's happening here? And people come from everywhere.
And what I love about Bark After Dark is that you're adding an extra layer of social, because pet parents will more easily talk to other pet parents because you've got your dog.
That
just automatically sparks conversation.
Right.
Yeah. So what else does Fromm Family Foods have up their sleeve for
So we're bringing one of the most popular things we had at Pet Fest was Adoption Avenue. So we're bringing Adoption Avenue back to Night Market. So we're going to have a handful of different nonprofits, Winston's Wishes, Cats at Large, Wisconsin Humane Society, a few others that are going to be there at Adoption Avenue. So you can meet adoptable pets. You can just get to know great local organizations. If you do meet your next pet at Night Market, Fromm's going to cover your whole first month of food. So that's going to be awesome. And then for everyone, and the VIP area, it's free to come to. We have Bonnie Hill Farms parfaits. So we make a fresh frozen food. So like imagine like a little ice cream cart and the dogs eating our gently cooked food. That we're going to be doing that.
That's perfect for summertime. A little scoop for Snoop.
Yep, scoop for Snoop, and then we got Foxtown beer samples too for the two-legged people.
Frog Family Foods knows how to throw a party. Megan, you were very smart to add the host with the most here for all these thoughtful touches, because I love Adoption Alley. Because I was just saying, I don't have pets anymore, but I could very much see myself like falling in love with that right little social cuddly creature, because you see so many other people having a more enriched life, having their pets with them.
100%.
Oh, how fun. Megan, did Brian leave anything out?
No, I don't believe so. Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. You know, and Westtown, especially in downtown as a whole in the last 10 years, has really had a booming residential base. And with the booming residential, that means a lot more pets are in downtown. So we just think it's so great with the new amenity of the downtown dog park that Fromm has been so involved with, that it was such a natural fit to have another amenity at the night market. And we're looking forward to seeing a lot of wagging tails.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of photo opportunities, because there's that new dog sculpture right there at the corner outside the dog market.
Yeah.
The dog market, listen to me, the dog park. But Megan, this is kind of Milwaukee Night Market's 2026 coming out because of the bad weather in June. So this is really the kickoff.
Yes, it is. Yeah, we were very unfortunate due to some forecasted storms on June 24th to have to cancel. So we're looking forward to clear skies and, you know, a lot of good fun on July 22nd. And then we have added October 7th as a rain or a makeup date for the canceled market in June. So all of those vendors will still have the opportunity to participate in that October market.
So what are the official dates? Because this is always one of those block parties that sneaks up on people like, oh my gosh. So I know a lot of people think that they missed the June one.
Yes.
So this is great. So the first one is next Wednesday, July 22nd.
Yep. And then August 19th, which is International Flavor Night. September 16th is College Night. And then October 7th will be that makeup date, which is our Western night.
Ooh, fun. Because I remember, yeah, you've got line dancing classes. You're leaning all the way into the Western night.
Yes, for sure.
Well, that'll be fun, because when you get closer to October, it's still nice weather, but you can get your flannel out and feel really good about wearing your cowboy boots. Exactly. What else is new this year at Milwaukee Night Market? Because the footprint has changed.
Yes, yeah. So we've changed the footprint and now have an addition onto Velar Phillips Avenue, which has allowed us to branch out onto the Baird Community Commons at the Baird Center, as well as the City of Milwaukee's new public plaza in the Velar Phillips Plaza. So we'll have some additional vendors there. We'll have yard games on Velar Phillips Plaza. And then Velar Phillips Plaza connects to Draft & Co., which is a great downtown spot. If you haven't been yet, make sure to get there. And they'll also have some additional vendors and music.
There is no reason, if you go to Milwaukee Night Market and don't have a good time, I don't see how. Because there's so much, and now that you've been able to extend it and expand it, because it gets busy in the right way. So now to have even more space to spread out and be social and sample food and beverages and shop the artisans and vendors. And I know, I love another thing about Milwaukee Night Market is for all four dates, there are a lot of different booths.
Mm-hmm.
It's really never the same experience twice, but it's always a fun experience.
Right. Yeah. We do have a rotating lineup of all of our makers and food vendors. So each month you can definitely expect to see someone that you haven't seen before, but you'll still be able to find your old reliables that you're always looking forward to every month. So throughout the season, we have 230 different small businesses participating.
Which is supporting all of those entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. It's just, you're doing a great service for the community and turning us on to new people that we haven't met yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we've excited everybody about Wednesday's Bark After Dark theme party for the Milwaukee Night Market with Fromm Family Foods. How do we find out? How do we make our plans, Megan?
Yes. Head to mkenightmarket.com to learn more about the event. That's where you'll find all of our vendors, our entertainment lineup, and more information on Fromm Adoption Alley and the VIP Pet Lounge and the Dog Park Meetup.
And Brian, leave us with some pet wisdom from Fromm Family Foods.
Oh, pet wisdom. You never regret getting a pet. I can tell you that. And I got four kittens at home right now. So I'm living it, and I love it every day. That's where I'm headed next.
What wonderful words. You never regret getting a pet. That is heartwarming. He is Brian Neiman, brand manager for Fromm Family Foods, and she is Megan Kajawa from Westtown. Get the whole title in.
Westtown Association. Yes.
Bid number 5.
Yes.
There you go. Thank you so much for being here. And I wish you all the big fun on all the Milwaukee night markets. Again, the Milwaukee night market dates, July 22nd, August 19th, September 16th, and October 7th, all wonderful Wednesday nights and located on West Wisconsin Avenue between 2nd Street and Velar Phillips Avenue. Learn more, mkenightmarket.com.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. It is hot in the city, and before I give you my comedy announcement, I do want to share with you the nice people who have piped in. I'm asking you on the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Where's your favorite frozen custard spot and what do you order? So 414 texted in Adrian's Custard in Burlington. All flavors. Yum. 414, a chocolate strawberry malt from Culver's. Another 414 text, Mr. Baseball at Cops. Because who doesn't love Bob Uecker? And if I'm remembering correctly, that flavor even has some Miller Lite in the frozen custard. Also 414 texted in Leon's Hot Fudge Sundae. Oh. I like myself a tin roof, but you can't really go wrong there. And also 414 James texted it. I'm a regular of Cops, and I checked the flavor preview on their website. July 20th is Ghost of Christmas Past. It features pistachio. Oh, that's very punny. I like it. So what do you like about frozen custard when it's this hot? What's your favorite spot? What do you like to order? Siding Unlimited, WTMJ talk and text line, 855-616-1620. I'll be checking it throughout the show. And I do want to tell you that my comedy announcement, Leanne Morgan has added a second show to her October 17th appearance at Milwaukee's Miller High Life Theater. And she's got that Southern drawl. It also makes me think of summertime. But if you haven't seen her Netflix comedy special, I'm Every Woman, look it up. It is Netflix's most watched stand-up special by a female comedian worldwide. That's how funny she is. And I got a chance to talk with her a couple of years ago here on What's on Tap, and she was just fun and sweet. And she's got the kind of comedy where she talks about family life, and it's not so much like political or celebrity focused. It's just very real and very storytelling. She's from Knoxville, Tennessee, and sounds like it. Saturday, October 17th, Miller High Life Theater, a second show added, an early show, 4 o'clock show. If you want to see Leanne Morgan, Miller High Life Theater, October 17th, you got a second chance. Right now, though, we go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center. Here is Jen Gregg.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, a summertime full of events, including the summer edition of Gallery Night MKE, which is Friday and Saturday during the day. 2 days to gallery hop and stroll and discover artists and even locations that you might not have been in for a while. All around Easttown, Historic Third Ward, Walker's Point, there is a full interactive map at the website. It's gallerynightmke.com, and you get a full list of artists, and you can plan your own adventure. Maybe stop at one gallery and just say you did and be able to see some artwork, or hit as many as you can. It is entirely up to you, but I guarantee you will be inspired by a lot of the creativity that you see here in our community. And one of the galleries that you can go to is called JK Art House. And if you say, I'm not familiar with that, guess what? You'll be going to a new space. And one of the co-owners, Julia Taylor, is with me. Julia, welcome to What's on Tap.
Well, thank you very much, Sandy. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Well, tell me exactly where JK Art House is in the historic Third Ward.
Well, we're on Broadway, 191 North Broadway, right next to Broadway Paper. And we're in a very large space. Karen Ellenbecker and I purchased the gallery on April 1st and moved to the new space on May 23rd.
Wow.
And so it's been a whirlwind. But the space is beautiful, and we can put so much more art up and absorb so many more people. So if you're looking for a fun place to go, you got to stop in at JK Art House and see Karen and I.
And it really is a large space and big floor-to-ceiling windows. So
absolutely.
I imagine when people walk by, they'll go, "Ooh, what's going on in there?"
Right.
I want to be inside there. Tell me about what is
what kind of artwork JK Arthouse specializes in or features?
Well, actually, we carry almost every kind of genre. We have something for everybody, sculptures, paintings. This particular exhibition is a real favorite of ours. It's actually the fifth year we've done it. It's called the Forward Show. And so we have about 21 local and regional artists that are exhibiting. And we will have a number of the artists here on Friday night.
That's wonderful.
So we're hoping people can come in and support our local arts community, as well as enjoy the new space.
Well, and when you get a chance to actually meet the artist and talk to them about what they've created and understand the inspiration and connect with it even more, that's very special. And it's also special for the artists themselves.
It is. It's an inspiration all the way around. I mean, the artists love to see people come in and look at their work and comment on it, and then to have a conversation and really find out what was going on behind the scenes when the artist decided to paint that picture. Well, I always learn something even listening to those conversations.
Sure, because that's that wonderful conversation and exchange, and art brings people together. Who are some of the artists that will be
probably some
there?
That people will know will yeah. be Mark Anderson, Reggie Baylor, Shelby Keefe, Mutopi Johnson. We have a number, Al Ekberg. We have a number of artists that are pretty well known in Milwaukee, and we've been fortunate that they've asked us to represent them, and it's been a great, great combination.
Julia, that's a very impressive list. I mean, as soon as you say Reginald Baylor, I don't know if people realize just what a gift he has been to the city for decades, and his signature artwork. He even has a piece hanging in the Milwaukee Art Museum.
Correct.
And I love his vibrant use of colors.
In line, yes.
Actually,
we're picking up 3 new paintings from him tomorrow.
So wow.
So they'll be in the gallery.
New creations.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
The chance to meet Reginald Baylor
yes.
and chat with him and see his latest creations, that really is special. And
it
I've
is.
Been a fan of Shelby Keefe since she was I discovered her when she was an artist in residence at the Pfister Hotel.
And we have some great new work from her too, including Leon's Custard Stand, if you want a memory of that, food trucks, the Pfister Hotel. She's done some really great landmarks for the show.
Julia was just asking people what their favorite frozen custard spot is and what they order. What's your favorite frozen custard place? What do you
probably
order?
Probably Cops. I love Cops.
Yeah. And what's your favorite flavor?
Oh, you know, I actually like strawberry a lot.
There are no wrong answers when we're fantasizing about frozen custard on a hot summer
exactly.
day.
Exactly.
So Shelby has memorialized Leon's frozen custard.
Yes, she has.
I'm excited to see
yes,
that artwork.
And the Downer Theater, too. That's another one we have up of hers.
I would say, I feel like she has truly specialized in capturing some of our city's landmarks
yes,
like that.
Al Ekberg, who does these giant wood blocks, has a great one of the Milwaukee Art Museum with the wings out. So we have some beautiful pieces in the gallery that we're very excited about.
Wow. So what is it about art that made you want to have a gallery and be in the art economics side of things?
I think part of it is the ability to connect people to art and allow artists to make a living. I mean, it's two sides of a coin. You know, the greatest relationships we have are with artists and with clients. And the ability to make both happy really builds the community, and it brings a lot of beauty into people's lives.
Well, and we just talked about these established artists that many people would recognize their names. You're also encouraging emerging artists.
Right.
Tell us about those.
So we have two artists who are emerging who finished their BFAs this year, one at MIAD and the other one at UWM. It's Greta Behrens and Abigail Tron, and they have their work up. We actually have a special room. Or we call it the conference room. We have to come up with another name. I'm open to suggestions.
We're conferring over the art.
Yes. So we have their work up, and I know that Greta will be there tomorrow night and a chance to interact with them as well. So, but it'll just be a fun evening, and it's a chance for us, too, to help support emerging artists and hopefully keep them in our community and help them connect with new people.
Well, and also help people who want to collect. And what advice do you have for someone who's never stepped into a gallery before or hasn't stepped into a gallery with the intent of starting to collect? What's an easy conversation that is no pressure on anyone?
Yeah, I always tell people you should choose work that's going to make you smile when you see it in the morning. Because that's the work, the real appreciation is in your heart and in the joy that it brings you. A lot of art does appreciate, but trying to bet on that, then you might as well be in the stock market. The real joy is to have art that brings you joy in your life.
Julia Taylor, co-owner of JK Art House in the historic Third Ward, right on Broadway. What's that intersection?
It's off of Chicago and Broadway.
Chicago and Broadway, 191 there, and in the Marne, former Marne space.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember what it was before it was Marne.
It was an Asian furniture store.
Ah, that explains why it's so large and it has the big windows.
I think it was a chocolate factory before that.
Will you have any chocolates? Maybe.
We could probably find some in a nook somewhere.
But one of the many wonderful spaces that you can enjoy on Gallery Night MKE Friday. When are you open on Friday and on Saturday for Gallery Night?
11 to 9 on Friday.
All day.
All day. And then Saturday we're 11 to 6.
That is wonderful. Your chance to meet artists. And what's the best way to keep up with JK Art House exhibitions and other events beyond Gallery Night?
So if you want to go on our website and subscribe to our newsletter, we do 8 different exhibitions a year, plus a number of pop-ups. There's always something new in JK Art House.
And is it simply jkarthouse.com?
Yes.
Look at that. You made it simple for us. She is Julia Taylor, co-owner of JK Art House. Stop by, say hello to her and
Karen Ellenbecker.
Yes. Your hostesses with the mostesses and the artists on display there. Thank you so much. I wish you a very happy gallery night.
Well, thank you, Sandy. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely my pleasure. And next, your chance to win free concert tickets to see country star Bailey Zimmerman on the Wisconsin State Fair Bank 5-9 main stage on August 8th. Keep it here on What's on Tap.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
Now I'm in this cold, bright light.
21 days until what? The Wisconsin State Fair. We are exactly 3 weeks away from opening night of the Wisconsin State Fair. Food on a stick, midway rides, livestock for us city folk to look at, blue ribbons being handed out, all those things that you love about the Wisconsin State Fair. For those of you who love shopping at the Expo Center and getting your new chamois and mops, that'll be there for you as well. And getting your jewelry cleaned. So many fun things about the Wisconsin State Fair, including the entertainment. The Wisconsin State Fair Bank 5-9 main stage is full of entertainment, including country star Bailey Zimmerman, who you just heard there. He is performing Saturday, August 8th, on the main stage. And he is one of those, he's had a pretty fast rocket to stardom. A lot of number one songs, including it's pretty impressive when you can have a crossover hit, which means if you've got a big song doing well in the country genre, but then also is on the Billboard 100 in the top 10, you're doing well. And that's just one of Bailey Zimmerman's achievements and known for really high energy shows. Some of his hits, Rockin' a Hard Place, Religiously, Fall in Love, Where It Ends, Holy Smokes is another one of his songs. But if you've never seen him live, I would say expect a high energy show, lots of sing-along moments, and it's... he's probably one of the biggest draws at the Wisconsin State Fair this year. Plus, when you get tickets to the main stage show, you get tickets to the State Fair itself. So a great excuse to spend the whole day at the fair. Get some cream puffs, check out the exhibits, then get to the concert that night. And opening for Bailey Zimmerman is a steel guitar player and a songwriter named Chandler Walters. So if you think, you know, sounds tempting, I would love to go to the Wisconsin State Fair. I would love to treat you to a pair of tickets. Lots of talent on that stage. Caller number 16 on the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line, 855-616-1620, because he's playing on August 8th, 8-8. We're going to take caller 16 on the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line for a pair of free tickets to see Bailey Zimmerman at the Wisconsin State Fair Bank 5-9 main stage on August 8th. Good luck. And a hit from Bailey Zimmerman next for the song you need to hear.
And now, feast your ears. This is the song you need to hear.
Most blokes are going to be playing at 10. These go to 11.
Congratulations to David from Kenosha, who just won a pair of tickets to enjoy Bailey Zimmerman on stage at the Wisconsin State Fair Bank 5-9 main stage Saturday, August 8th at 7:30. Two more chances to win during What's on Tap tomorrow. Go ahead, set your phone alarm for 6 o'clock so you don't miss out. And before Bailey Zimmerman brings his country show to the Wisconsin State Fair Bank 5-9 main stage, August 8th, a Saturday night, here is the song that really helped launch him into country music stardom, a breakthrough hit, number one on country radio. It's called Fall in Love, the song you need to hear by Bailey Zimmerman on What's on Tap.
your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. A deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Welcome to the second hour of this supersized episode of What's on Tap, where you'll get some more gallery night previews. We will check in on the progress of a documentary about civil rights, about Joshua Glover, a freed slave here in Wisconsin, and a new collaboration with the Milwaukee High School of the Arts. So I'm very excited to bring you those stories. Very excited now to celebrate a summer tradition in this city for nearly 20 years. Free Shakespeare in the Park. And I encourage you to text WATCH to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620. You text the word WATCH, W-A-T-C-H, and you will get to see some of the puppets who have starred in Shakespeare in the Park, some pretty garlands, and just immerse yourself in the fun. And Susan Scott Fry, executive director of Optimist Theater, who's been bringing us Shakespeare in the Park all around the parks for free for truly, is this 17 years?
It's 17 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm not even 20. I don't know how this at all happened.
You're a prodigy.
No. Yeah, yeah. No, my garland is older than the...
And when you say garland, it's a beautiful circular headpiece with the streamers.
Thank
and
you
can even make garlands when you go to Shakespeare in the Park performances.
You can.
So you're not just going, throwing down a blanket and watching performances.
No,
you've really
no.
created, mm-hmm. I would say, even a party atmosphere.
I think so.
A playful party.
A totally playful party. And people this year, more than ever, I have noticed, are showing up about an hour before the first show, because we're doing two shows, two different titles, and they are playing the games and they're having a picnic and then they're staying for the whole afternoon. And so, of course, I'm watching. I just want to see, are they having a good time? Are they actually staying? Instead of coming and seeing the show and thinking, oh, okay, I'll come back or maybe I'll catch the 5 o'clock later. They are making it a whole afternoon.
And that's special. So that means, yeah, you're creating a true experience.
An experience, yeah.
And so who should come to Shakespeare in the Park?
You know, the pat answer is everyone. But no, it really is true. It really is true. Well, we have such an inclusive and accessible approach to Shakespeare.
That's what I would say. To me, it also means another way to say everyone is multi-generational.
That's right. It is totally multi-generational. And we trick people. I will confess, we do trick people because this is we're going into our third season, I believe, of doing a full Shakespeare production with puppets. It's amazing. And people hear puppets and they think, oh, it's a kid show. I'll bring my kids. And they do. And then you see the kids just getting into it because it's puppets and it's fun and it's moving fast and they're having a good time and people are laughing and the parents start leaning in and they're like, wow, this is a really good story. That's really, because it's almost 100% Shakespeare. And then all of a sudden the parents are invested in these characters.
I say puppet saying thee and thou is as intimidating as someone who you see is classically trained.
Although the actors that we use are classically trained. We are probably one of the only equity companies touring. Equity companies in the Midwest.
And that's our arts economy. That's mm-hmm. really meaningful.
Yeah.
And so you opened last weekend.
We
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
At Wisconsin Lutheran College in Washington Park.
We did. We did.
And so you are performing weekends through the middle of August mm-hmm. at a lot of Milwaukee County parks. Humboldt Park, Sherman Park, Lincoln Park, Grant Park, Lake Park, Jackson Park. Ooh, I see that's added.
It's
Kern Park, Wisconsin Avenue Park. And then I love that you're hitting the road for your final performance out to Hartford.
We're going all the way out to Hartford. We're not going to just hop to like Brookfield or something. We're going to go all the way to, they invited us.
The finale at the Shower Arts Center, mm-hmm. August 16th. So congratulations when we're talking about 17 seasons mm-hmm. of seeing this idea grow. How did Free Shakespeare in the Park start here in Milwaukee for you?
For me, in 2009, I moved to Milwaukee, an outdoor theater, outdoor entertainment. That's my background and my passion. And Shakespeare, of course, is my number one passion. And I looked around and I said, you know, Milwaukee doesn't have Shakespeare in the Park. That's weird.
I grew up in Louisville, and I went to Shakespeare in the Park in Central Park as a kid with my parents. Yes. It's magical. And then I went to a performing arts school, and students there, we performed.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of a... It's a foundation to the culture.
Yeah.
And Milwaukee is the perfect size, perfect demographic for Shakespeare in the Park. And so we applied for grants. Oh, we were bad at that. You know, when you first start asking for money, you're not going to be good at it. But eventually we managed to raise enough. And so we debuted in 2010 with free Shakespeare in the Park, all one location, and started our very first show. Had Jim Pickering and Angela Iannone.
Wow.
I know.
Those are very established names in our Wisconsin theater circles.
Gosh. Wow. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. It was a runaway train.
But I love the creatives who embrace that. I feel like James Pickering is one of those who always embraces the latest and greatest creative and wants to be part of things and wants to grow as an artist himself.
Mm-hmm. He really is. He is out there. He's still is looking for just the next thing that sparks something in him. He has been around so much and done so many different things and has so much skill that he can take a chance.
Yes.
You know, he's not going to fail. And even if he does, it's going to be spectacular.
Well, I haven't seen it yet, though. Haven't seen it yet.
No, me neither.
She is Susan Scott Fry, responsible now for Shakespeare in the Park, free and now a tradition for almost 20 years. We're going to find out more about what Shakespeare plays we can see, some with puppets and some with laughter and music. So stay with us here for our preview of Shakespeare in the Park, season of 2026, here on What's on Tap on WTMJ.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
Shakespearean medieval type music to put you in the mood to spend some time this summer at one of the free Shakespeare in the Park performances. Executive Director of Optimus Theater, Susan Scott Fry, is with me in her gorgeous garland, one of the many activities you can take part in when you go to Shakespeare in the Park. So you get two plays and you get all these activities. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the party activities briefly and then get into the, because we want to, it's a full experience.
It is a full experience. And we try to make everything cohesive. So if you're walking in, we want you to have sort of an immersive experience. And so all of the games and things are Shakespeare related or something that you might have encountered in the Renaissance. So I still don't know how to pronounce or play some of them. So I'm working
but
my way.
Historically accurate.
They are
authentic.
Historically accurate and authentic. Even the giant Jenga is. I questioned that one and I had my history lesson. So I am there. But we are also this year making it possible for people to make their own garlands. And it was I had no idea how that was going to go. And it was amazing. There were just all of these young girls and a few young boys all wanting to make their own garland.
Because it's basically a wreath with streamers that you wear on your head.
It is. It's a crown.
It's a crown, I was just saying.
Floral crown. Mm-hmm.
I was already smitten. You brought me one and it looks so nice on, but I have to wear my headphones. So I can hold it up, though.
Bad.
Text the word watch to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line, WATCH 2-855-616-1620. It really is pretty, and it is a nice souvenir. And again, for a free summertime event, spending time in the park, Shakespeare in the Park is good for all ages. Man, time to hang out with your family or for adults to hang out with their friends. I got to say, this would be a great date.
Mm-hmm. Picnics.
Yeah.
Picnic. And just enjoy the music because we have live music from Early Music Now. They
playing,
are there.
Again, authentic medieval sounding music.
Exactly. And they are the house band for our second show for The Merry Wives of Windsor that plays every day at 5 o'clock. So
this really is, you are not going to be bored when you go to Shakespeare in the Park. There are activities, there is music, there are games, there's even Shakespeare trivia. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to enjoy in addition to the show. So tell us about Merry Wives of Windsor, the comedy that has music in it.
It is. Well, you know, Merry Wives of Windsor is dull. It's boring. It's awful.
And you love Shakespeare.
I do, but you know, it's not all gold. It's really not. And Shakespeare wrote The Merry Wives of Windsor because Falstaff, the character of Falstaff, was so popular he had to write a play with Falstaff in it. So he wrote a play with Falstaff and added a bunch of stuff.
So who is Falstaff? Why was he so popular?
Oh my goodness. He is this great comic character who is loud, obnoxious. He's a knight. He has position, but he thinks he's smart and he's going to take advantage of these women that he's going to use his wiles and his charms to swindle out of their money. Well, oh, guess what? Yeah, he is not that sly. And so we took out all of the extraneous stuff, and ours focuses just on this story. It is about him and the merry wives, and he gets some massively comic comeuppance in the process. Let's see who's really in charge. It's truly Mistresses Quickly, Ford, and Page. That should be the story.
Girl right power. Mm-hmm. So good. I like that. That's a feel-good comedy.
It is, it as far like. As I'm concerned.
And that is the second of what I would call the double feature.
It is.
What's the first play?
The first one is Richard III.
Big contrast.
Dun, dun, dun.
Not a goofy fool like Falstaff.
Not even a little. It is harsh and heavy and over the top. But Richard III, who was a real king, but wasn't maybe as horrid as Shakespeare wrote him out to be, but he was pretty bad. He was pretty awful. He did kill a lot of people. And so the play Richard III, it's about 3.5 hours long. And so we trimmed it down to about 50 minutes. So it's basically just murder, 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 kingdom for a horse, murder. That's it. That's the whole thing.
So again, pulling out what may arguably the most entertaining parts and the most accessible parts for, again, multi-generations, if this is your first time as a child or an adult, to get introduced to Shakespeare.
It is a wonderful way. Richard III is an amazing way to get introduced to Shakespeare. One, because it's really good when you make it 1 hour long. But it is also the play we're doing this year with puppets.
Ah.
And puppets are the perfect way to present such an over-the-top, dramatic, just murder-filled puppets with knives. You
know? It could lighten it up a little bit. I could see that it could be a storytelling tool. All right, she is Susan Scott Fry from Shakespeare in the Park, the 2026 season with Richard III and the Merry Wives of Windsor. We are going to meet some puppets who have starred in Shakespeare in the park past, and we're going to talk about truly the artistic and creative use of puppets in Shakespeare and why it works, since this is the third year you're doing it.
It is indeed.
Stay with us here on What's on Tap.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
Putting you in the mood, a Shakespearean mood, to go enjoy free theater for all ages. Shakespeare in the Park is back for 2026, put on by Optimus Theater Executive Director Susan Scott Fry, and witches from Hamlet on her arm are with me. If you text the word watch to the Signing Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text line, text watch to 855-616-1620. You can see these puppets who starred on stage last year, and you couldn't bring Richard III, the puppet, with you.
Oh, no.
He's rehearsing.
They really needed a little time off. It was a tough weekend.
I would say opening weekend. He's still recuperating and then getting up his energy for this weekend, Saturday at Humboldt Park, Sunday at Sherman Park, and the other parks throughout the weekends through the middle of August, Lincoln Park, Grant Park, Lake Park, Jackson Park, Kern Park, Wisconsin Avenue Park, and then wrapping up Sunday, August 16th in Hartford at the Shower Art Center. So I love that you brought the puppets, but explain to me, because I remember when you told me in the first time, and we're using puppets. Like, to me, I'm like, well, I don't know if that brings me into the experience. Mm-hmm. Initially, as an adult, I'm thinking that. I think, obviously, it will appeal to kids. So tell me what the magic is.
Well, you know, hang on just a second, ladies. No, it's
oh,
my
you
turn.
Have to set down
it's
the puppets?
It's my turn to talk. No, no.
It was funny when you were showing me the witches before. It is if you can't see on the YouTube live stream right now, there are three heads, of course, because they're the witches who go around the cauldron.
That's right.
And
that's
you
right.
were talking to me like, oh yeah, they were in Hamlet last year,
right?
Macbeth last year.
Toil and trouble. Right?
But it was just funny. You were talking with the mouth puppets. They were saying Macbeth, and I was like, oh, okay.
You can't not.
You can't. I was just going to say they become an extension of you.
Well,
which,
they are the actors. They are just made out of felt. So our puppets are the actors, and they're very, very well made. This was kind of a rough first outing. So these are road hard and put away wet. So
they're experienced. They're veterans of the outdoor theater.
These are veterans, and they live in my home now. They do.
Well, they're works of art themselves.
They are. Our puppet designer trained with Muppeteers. And he builds them as well. And so they are really, really wonderful, wonderful puppets. But when parents bring their children or they decide they want to come and check it out, puppets lower their inhibitions. People think, oh, it's puppets. I'll just sit back and enjoy it. So they're relaxed. Whereas when someone goes to a Shakespeare play, they're a little keyed up. Like, I'm not sure if I'm going to understand what they're saying. But with puppets, they have already dropped that.
That's that great. They're more receptive.
So they are much more receptive. Their ears get attuned to the sounds quicker. And so they start picking up on the language a lot faster. And then because they are with family, the kids are enjoying it. And so it becomes that energy grows really quickly within the unit that came. So puppets are psychologically a little smart too.
I was just what a fascinating study
it
in
is.
How
it really
you can
is.
Connect better with humans through this
through
felt
through
barrier.
Yep, through felt actors. That's right. And the actors themselves, they do disappear. They disappear. You see people are watching those puppets because those are the actors.
So before we go, you must tell me about the human actors that you have. Four femme actors.
We have four femme actors. And I know you and I have just in passing chatted about, some more opportunities for women to do this and that. And I'm a big, big fan and proponent. And this year managed to do it. All four women. And as a matter of fact, one of the women who happens to be a friend of somebody that works here.
Producer Isaac Marquardt.
Your producer, yes.
It was Al.
Mm-hmm. Al, okay, I'm old, grew up going to our Shakespeare in the Park.
Aww.
And because of her experience at Julius Caesar, she decided this is what she wants to do for a living. And so since then, she has gone on. She's gotten her degree. She has worked in Stratford-upon-Avon. She is working her way into a professional career. And it is because of our Shakespeare in the
That's
Park.
That's got to feel great.
I cried.
Oh, I was just going to say, that has to be magic to you.
It was magic.
Oh,
so it was magic.
Tell us the other three actors.
Libby Amato, who can do anything. Libby is, of course, our Richard.
And was a one-woman Hamlet.
Was a
in the
one-woman
past.
Hamlet. That's you can throw anything at Libby,
wow.
And she will be amazing. Of course, it's wonderful to see her do Richard, playing Richard, and then doing the Merry Wives of Windsor, because boy, is that polar opposites, and she's hysterical.
And then
absolutely
who else?
Hysterical. Rebecca Farr, who you will see doing a lot with the Constructivists and Pink Umbrella and so much around town. We got a chance to meet and work with Rebecca in our 10th season, so we get to have her back.
Love the return. And then last but not least in the
Kayleen
cast.
Kayleen Howard, who has all kinds of Shakespeare experience. She is actually an Equity actor also. And so she has toured doing Shakespeare. And so we were lucky and we got her. We got her. So we have all women.
And truly professional actors. This is so wonderful. So anybody who thinks Shakespeare in the Park is just throwing up a sheet and let's put on a show. Nothing wrong with that. But you're going to get a true experience. Richard III and Merry Wives of Windsor with humans and puppets. Early music playing medieval songs. You can play games, make garlands, really have a full experience and take home some souvenirs. And what is the best way to find out the schedule?
www.optimisttheater.com. with a T-R-E .org.
I also think if you type in Shakespeare in the Park, Milwaukee, you'll get that as
you
well.
Will indeed.
So you can experience it Saturday at Humboldt Park and Sunday in Sherman Park, and then other weekend performances through August 16th. Susan Scott Fry, Executive Director of Optimist Theater, thank you so much for bringing Shakespeare to our community.
Thank you for helping spread the word, Sandy.
Keep up the good work. Continue to keep it here on What's on Tap as we have a more gallery night previews coming up, but right now we go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center. Here is Jen Gregg.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. Handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. And Gallery Night MKE, Friday night and Saturday in the afternoon. It's 2 days to basically gallery hop anywhere you want. It's about 40 different locations opening their doors to say, hey, come see the creativity that we have all around our city. And it's in Third Ward, Easttown, Walker's Point. There are over 40 locations. And if you go to gallerynightmke.com, you can see the whole interactive map and listings. And one of the Gallery Night events caught my eye because it is so colorful. And it is happening at Kim Storage Gallery. And in the studio with me now is Kim Storage of Kim Storage Gallery and one of the artists featured on Gallery Night, Megan Woodard Johnson. How are you both?
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
Really well. And Megan, thank you for coming back. It was a delight to chat with you when you were the artist in residence at St. Kate the Arts Hotel.
Yeah, you had me on a couple times.
And because you're a fun creative to talk to. You know, you're easy to talk to about your creative process and what inspires you. And so I know we'll have more good conversations this
Fantastic.
Evening about
yeah,
your artwork and
try.
What you're doing now.
Oh,
you'll do well, Megan. And Kim, I'm so pleased to meet you. I've seen, you know, your name in lights, in the arts community. Tell us what's special about Kim Storage Gallery and the kind of artwork that you like to spotlight.
I like to spotlight artists that I like working with who are really fun, like Megan. Like, I just, you know, artists who, are just great to work with, a lot of fun artwork that I like. I like a little bit of everything. So I show, you know, from totally abstract work to realism and kind of everything in between.
Is there any common thread between the artists that you have on display and think that people should see and maybe collect?
I don't know if there's a common thread, but it's what I like. And I show, you know, emerging artists and, you know, other artists who are more established like Megan. So I think when people come, they'll find something that they like, something for everybody.
And how did you decide to start a gallery yourself?
Well, it went way back. When I was in high school, I became kind of obsessed with painting, and I decided I wanted to work with artists. And so then I went to UW-Whitewater, and I started working at the Crossman Gallery on campus there. I walked in, and I said, hey, I want to work here. And so I started working there for 4 years while I was attending the university, and Mike Flanagan was the director at the time, and he was kind of become like a lifelong friend and mentor to me. And after I graduated, I started working at the Tori Folliard Gallery, and she was also a great mentor.
Yeah, Tori Folliard, also a part of Gallery Night and so established. And and her entire Gallery Night is all Wisconsin art.
That's right.
Yeah. So there's
big show.
Yeah, there's a lot to love. I love that you literally kind of lit up and sat up in your seat. You're like, I got excited and got started in college. So this really seems like a calling for you.
Yeah,
to be a gallery owner and to showcase artists.
Doing anything else.
Really?
Yeah.
How long has Kim Storage Gallery been around?
2 years now.
I would say because you're a young woman. So, you know, well, I just had in Julia Taylor from JK Art House, who has had a robust career, and now this next chapter is when she's opening a gallery. Yeah. So it's exciting to see inspiration at any age to want to share art. So your exhibition now is called Color Play. Tell us about Color Play and the four artists that you have.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned her residency at the St. Kate, because that's actually like where this idea kind of originated.
Really?
Yeah, so I was doing a studio visit with Megan, we were there in her studio and we were having pizza and salad. And I told her, hey, I have this idea for a show called Color Play. And so then she said, oh, you should check out Poppy and Gretchen. And so
Two artists that you know, Megan.
Yes, friends.
Yeah.
Other artists. Poppy's out in California, Gretchen's in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And so I looked up them and I thought, wow, yeah, they'd just be perfect for this show. And then I added one of my other artists that I represent, who's been with me since the beginning, Kathleen Waterloo. And the show is really, it's a fun show. So like everybody who's come in and seen it so far just says, wow, this show is so fun. And I love that. Like, I love when people, like, get energized and excited about the show. And so, yeah, it's a really fun, energizing, colorful exhibition and for abstract artists.
It sounds like that's the kind of experience you want people to have as a fun experience.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
She is Kim Storage, owner of Kim Storage Gallery, and with artist Megan Woodard-Johnson, one of the artists on display during Color Play. We will chat more about the different artwork that you can see on display there at Gallery Night as we continue our creative chat here on What's on Tap. Stay with us.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
Welcome back to What's on Tap. I am Sandy Max, joined in the studio by Kim Storage Gallery owner Kim Storage and artist Megan Woodard-Johnson, who is part of the Kim Storage Gallery exhibition called Color Play. Mm-hmm. This is something you can see yourself absolutely free on Friday during Milwaukee Gallery Night and Saturday Gallery Day. Will you be celebrating on both Friday and Saturday?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Yeah. And what is the address of Kim Storage Gallery? Where do we find you?
It's in the Marshall Building, and it's 207 East Buffalo Street, and we're up on the fourth floor, suite 407.
And what a great collective of so many artists there. Ooh, so fourth floor is where we will find this burst of color from four different artists. And I see, Megan, in the description of the exhibition, color is the primary language of expression. What do the colors communicate to you? And have you chosen colors in particular that express your feelings?
So I think, first of all, all four artists that are in this show probably approach and attack color and building their compositions, you know, from completely unique ways. There's also different mediums that we're actually using. Kathleen Waterloo is an encaustic artist, and her work builds up this incredible volume of wax and pigment that makes this just really gorgeous, sort of deeply, the work, it feels simple if you look at it in a printed reproduction, but in person it has like a real depth and, you know, quality to it.
Which is great to go to a gallery to
is work that you want to see in person. The internet is amazing, but the thing about these shows, and I think our work, and then when I say our, I mean the four artists that are in the show, we all use so many different mediums, and we combine materials in really different ways to build up these color stories that you miss out on a lot if you don't get a chance to see them in person. So for me, color is what sort of happens first. I sort of think and speak in color, and I let it all build up on the canvas in a really intuitive way. And then as it settles into a completed composition, a piece that feels settled, then some sort of emotion or memory or idea kind of comes to me out of that color. Some other artists probably start with a color palette in mind that they want to speak to, or an idea that they think certain colors would represent, if that makes sense, and they go in from that direction. I let the color talk first, and then I try and listen to what it's trying to say.
It's fascinating to hear that process. And then share the names of the three other artists.
Sure. So there's me, and then there is Poppy Dodge. She is she's a mixed media artist from California, and she has some acrylic paintings and some sort of mixed media assemblage pieces with collage and found object. And her paintings especially build up really thin layers of paint over and over and over again that build up really so that they sort of all of this work almost seems simple in the beginning because you just sort of think, oh, there's colors. But when you get into them, you realize how much goes into each layer of color.
They're like three-dimensional when you're talking about the layers.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And hers are like thin glazes and washes. So when you get up close, you can see this real history behind, you know, the piece. Gretchen Worson is from Massachusetts, and she does acrylic and, gosh, I don't actually know her whole list, like ink and pencil and all sorts of things. And I think she uses a lot of the natural world as her inspiration. But when she paints, she's not trying to represent the natural world. It might be that like a color palette or a sort of visual texture comes to her from floral or, you know, natural world fauna.
Taking the inspiration instead of the replication.
Yep. And then Kathleen, her work, like I said, is encaustics, which is like beeswax and oil-based pigments, right, that sort of work together and build up, use heat to sort of melt the work to, or the colors together. I mean, it's...
Also many, many layers.
Yes. They're like physically thick. And yes.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love a texture like that too. And like you said, to be in person to explore that and spend some time with it is magical.
Like this amazing softness to Kathleen's work that I think is really hard to capture in a picture, but in person is really beautiful. And even just looking at the edges of her work is really nice.
Right. There's like almost drips of the medium. And that's true. That softness, that sort of, she uses straight lines in her compositions, but then there's a softness, almost like an ethereal quality to them because there's this translucency.
I think it's hard because of all these layers built up, many, many layers on top of each other that make that happen.
Yeah. I love that you're describing this, Megan, though, because we're talking about color play, that you specifically, you know, chose this title, Kim, that it isn't all just bold colors. That's automatically what comes to mind, like pop art and bright colors, but that it is playing with colors and the textures, that it can be a range. It isn't all just in your face jewel tones, which I love, or primary colors. Like it is those combinations and the imagination.
Yeah. I feel like you could take the idea of color play or a color forward show and go in so many different directions. But like Kim said in the beginning, this one is inherently joyful. I mean, we do all four of us tend towards vivid colors. But that doesn't mean they're simple or they're one note. Like they're very varied and they have a lot of rich depth, but overall they lean towards a pretty happy scene.
Bringing the joy with color play at Kim Storage Gallery, inviting you to join Kim Storage and Megan Woodard Johnson to see this artwork in person at Gallery Night on Friday night. More of a preview next on What's on Tap.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap. A couple minutes left with our gallery night preview of what's happening at Kim Storage Gallery in the historic Third Ward, right there in the Marshall Building on the fourth floor, Friday night and Saturday during the day. You are welcome to come see Color Play. So Kim Storage is in the studio with me and one of the artists of Color Play, Megan Woodard Johnson. And Megan, will you be there for gallery night?
Yeah, I'll be there and all three of the other artists will be there. I just fumbled. and Poppy Dodge is coming in from California. Gretchen Worson's coming from Massachusetts. Kathleen's coming up from Chicago. So there's a good opportunity, gallery night, to meet all four of us.
That's wonderful to be able to be social and talk with each of you, especially I feel when it comes to abstract painting, to understand the story that you're telling and the emotion that you were feeling and find out the emotion that you're invoking, which is hopefully joy.
That's right.
That's kind of your theme, isn't it, Kim? You want people to have fun, and you're entertained by some of the titles of some of the artworks?
Yeah, there's some really good titles. Megan always has great titles. like she has some about New Box of Crayons, or there's one called The New Kid. Or I saw Gretchen had one called Solo Skinny Dip, 11 p.m.
That paints a picture itself.
Absolutely.
It does.
Yeah. So yeah, I feel like when you have to look at the titles with abstract work, and that can really, you know, you can get some good zingers there. Yeah. And if you do want to learn more about all of the artists, on Saturday at 1 p.m., they will all be doing a panel discussion in the gallery, so everyone should come join us.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And what's the best way to keep up with everything happening at Kim Storage Gallery?
Everyone can sign up for our newsletter or follow along on Facebook or Instagram.
Kim Gallery Storage. I just did it backwards. I was like, wait, that didn't sound right. Kim Storage, your name, gallery. Forgive me. There we go. But now other people will remember because I said it that way. Kim Storage Gallery, thank you both for visiting and have a wonderful happy gallery night to you, Megan Woodard-Johnson, and you, Kim Storage.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having
My
us.
My pleasure. Stay with us for a bonus hour of What's on Tap next.
Your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. A deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Welcome to this bonus hour of What's on Tap. At 8:35, you will get even more guidance to help you make the most of your gallery night MKE on Friday. Artist Karen Elwing, she has Door County paintings. She is going to visit the WTMJ studio to share what she has planned at Skylight Music Theater for gallery night. But first, I am pleased to welcome back to the WTMJ studio two talented men who are now working on a multi-layered and meaningful project together. First, filmmaker Michael Jarre, how are you?
I'm doing well, Sandy. Thanks for having me.
Very glad that you're here. And welcome to Robert Raymond's.
Raymond Roberts.
I did it. Raymond Roberts. I was so trying so hard not to do that. And people all around the city are going, oh my God, because you are a legendary Milwaukee High School of the Arts choral director and so much more. And Raymond, the last time I got to see you was February, and you had the exciting opportunity to have your students perform for actor Hugh Jackman when he was in town for Song Song Blue.
It was an amazing experience, and it was great to share that and the inner workings of how that came to be with you and all of your audience. So it's good to be back.
Well, and it's magical that you were able to make that happen in such a meaningful way and surprise your students with that and keep that secret for about 3 weeks of rehearsals. No, we're just rehearsing the Greatest Showman songs. Mm-hmm. No, and you really need to get it right.
Yeah, that was, smoke and mirrors and all those tricks.
Yeah, and you have to do it over Thanksgiving holiday break. Yeah. I'm testing your discipline. You want to get this right. So creating that magic doesn't always have to be with the big stars.
That's true.
But now you're creating magic for the film that Michael Jarre is working on. And so I love that you're collaborating on such a meaningful film that preserves and shares an important part of Wisconsin history. So Michael, for anyone who isn't familiar with Joshua and Glover's story and your short documentary that you have now created and you're now developing into a feature film, refresh us on that story.
Sure. I call it the greatest Milwaukee story that no one's ever heard. And it's really about Joshua Glover. Joshua Glover had been enslaved in St. Louis in 1852. He decided to take the risk of flight and trekked almost 400 miles to Racine, Wisconsin. It was an abolitionist community, and it welcomed him with open arms, and he lived for 2 years in freedom, got a job at a sawmill, lived in, had his own place to live. But his former slave owner had never stopped looking for him and eventually tracked him down. He came up to Milwaukee, got a warrant for Joshua Glover's arrest, put together a posse, and they went down to Racine at night and pounded on Joshua Glover's door, burst in, beat him up, shackled him, threw him in a wagon, and carried him back up to Milwaukee and threw him in jail in the courthouse right on Cathedral Square today. It looked like he was going back to a lifetime of bondage, but the word got out in Racine, and the abolitionist community rallied the following morning. They also sent a telegram up to Sherman Booth, who was an abolitionist newspaper editor in Milwaukee. They said, this guy's been abducted, check it out. So he went to the court to verify the facts, and sure enough, Joshua Glover was there. So he got on horseback, like Paul Revere, rode through the streets of Milwaukee, basically calling people to turn out on behalf of this freedom seeker. About 5,000 people turned out on a cold March day in 1854. It began very organized. They demanded, they formed committees, elected a president, passed resolutions, demanded that he be given, basically that he be freed. But after several hours of this, they decided this is not happening. They grabbed basically a wooden beam from the construction site at Cathedral Square where the cathedral was being built. They broke down the courthouse door. They rushed in. They grabbed Joshua Glover, got him out, and they hid him in the Underground Railroad for several weeks, eventually got him on a ship to Canada, and he lived the rest of his life in freedom there. 9 days after that took place, after the rescue took place, another group of abolitionists got together in Ripon at the little white schoolhouse there and said, we need a new anti-slavery political party in this country. And they came out of that calling themselves Republicans. That spread like wildfire across the North. And a few years later, Abraham Lincoln was elected, and the rest is history.
It's incredible. Even just you telling this story in summary, so many layers of it are incredible.
There are.
And being able to activate 5,000 people overnight and through horseback and hollering.
Yeah.
You know, and then the 5,000 people actually organized and talked to each other and tried to problem solve, and then came to the conclusion, okay, we're going to beat it down. But violence wasn't the first, you know, course of action.
No.
It was, and even then it was, we're going to batter down the door. We're not going to clock people with the with the beams from what will eventually become the cathedral. So Thank you, Michael, for that excellent summary. And thank you for also creating the short documentary, Liberty at Stake, the Joshua Glover story, that you can see. Can you watch it online?
You can watch it if you go to our website, www.las, as in Liberty at Stake, lasfilm.com. The mini documentary is there, and we're actually updating it because we've done a number of interviews since then, and so we're going to be adding them in. We're also going to be adding some choral music in, which we can talk about here.
Yeah.
But we hope to have that done by the end of the month, and I'll be presenting it at the UW Eau Claire to a group of students, teachers, and actually the public at that time. So we're looking very forward to that screening.
Oh, yes, we are. So find it online, lasfilms.com.
lasfilm.com.
And he is Michael Jarr, the filmmaker, and in the studio with me from Milwaukee High School of the Arts, choral director. You can do it to me. Raymond Roberts, a ray of sunshine, Raymond Roberts. Thanks, in with Sandy. Me. But how they are collaborating on this film is a very special story. And the next steps, the progress updates, because you are making a feature-length film of this documentary. So more to come here on What's on Tap.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
There was anti-slavery fervor amongst Wisconsinites. One of the leaders of the abolitionist cause in Wisconsin was a man named Sherman Booth, who ran a newspaper out of Milwaukee, an abolitionist newspaper. And he's the one who really rallied the crowd once he found out that Joshua Glover had been arrested and was being imprisoned in Milwaukee.
I think the interesting piece is Sherman Booth riding through the town and going from small community to small community. Much like Paul Revere, Glover is here, we've got to break him out of jail.
That is a moment from the short documentary called Liberty at Stake, the Joshua Glover story, created by Michael Jarr, filmmaker in the studio with me. And we're also joined by the choral director from Milwaukee High School of the Arts, Raymond Roberts. And the two of you are collaborating now because, Michael, you just gave us just such a wonderful summary of the powerful story of Joshua Glover's journey through Wisconsin and what it has meant to politics, to civil rights, to so many things in our history. When's the first time you heard this story?
I heard this story when I was driving back from Chicago, and I was hoping to listen to the Brewers beat the Cubs. That was the scheduled event of the day, and I always tune into 620 for that. But it was rained out because they were playing in Chicago. And they were re-airing, I believe, an interview that you had with Michael Jarr about his mini documentary about the Joshua Glover story.
Had you heard about the Joshua Glover story before?
I had heard about it. I was born in Milwaukee, but grew up in Texas and came back to Milwaukee. And so I was kind of not directly connected to Milwaukee history in that way. But the first introduction I had was when they created the murals on the freeway just out of the McKinley and
right
exit. So I took some time to go check it out, but then to hear about Mr. Jar's compelling reasons to share the story and amplify it and share it more widely just really resonated with me. And I had the fortune of having two African-American men as my choral mentors, both in high school and college. And so I've been connected to the African-American spiritual pretty closely and deeply for a long time now. And so it's just part of the repertoire that I do with my students. They see themselves in the repertoire. I teach large demographically African-American students. And so it's just kind of clicked in my mind, like, this is a local person telling a local story that the implications were so far reaching. How can I maybe reach out to Mr. Jar and connect with him in a way that my students can really see the actual history in the spirituals they're singing? So that kind of just was all running around in my head as I was driving home. And after when I got home, I reached out and kind of searched for Mr. Jar on the internet and reached out to him and said, "Hey, here's what I'm thinking. What do you
think?"
And
Michael, when he called you and said, "Hey, this is my position. This is what I do. I would love for my students to get more connected to this story and maybe even enhance and supplement your documentary." How did you respond to that call that email?
It was exciting for two reasons. One is we really want to kind of target young people with this story because it's such an encouraging, unifying story. But also I had thought about having a local choir perhaps produce something, and I had actually reached out to Marquette University. I'd reached out to some churches. I'd reached out to some schools, and it just hadn't gone anywhere. And then all of a sudden, I get a choir director, you know, calling me and saying, "Hey, we'd really love to record some songs for your soundtrack if you would be interested." And I said, "I'm interested." So
what a
it
gift.
Flowed from there.
Oh, Raymond, how did you choose the songs?
Well, Michael had asked specifically about the spiritual Joshua Fit the Battle, obviously the namesake and the connection between just the story of Joshua marching around the walls of Jericho and blowing the ram horn and the walls come tumbling down. Just the clear metaphor of the struggle against the institutions and that when people join together, they can dismantle them. I mean, it was just so easily connected, and that was just a no-brainer and clearly suggested by Michael.
I would say, before we move on, may I?
Oh, sure.
That is what came of your idea, Mr. Roberts. How does it make both of you feel to hear those students singing?
It's powerful. It's inspiring. They, not only does it sound so beautiful, but as Mr. Roberts said, it's just when you think about it being sung at the time in the situations in which it was sung, it just really brings it home and makes it very real. So, and to have these young people, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old students singing, it sounds like 100-member adult choir. You know, it sounds like the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, and it's like 48 kids, and you're just blown away. So it was astounding.
Thank you. There's so many opportunities. Choral music is just replete with connections to history and to society and to the human condition. But just to have it come to life in such a meaningful way and connect it directly to Milwaukee history, to Wisconsin history, to African American history was just so impactful for the students. It's something they will never forget. This will live with them forever.
More with Doctor. I want to keep calling you Doctor as well. You want to be
That's
a doctor?
That's pretty kind.
No. But more with Raymond Roberts. He is the voice that you're hearing, the choral director at the Milwaukee High School of the Arts. What a gift you are to our community to be such an inspired educator who wants to truly find those connections to inspire students and really engage them and help them understand their connection to the world and to history. And we're also here with Michael Jar, the filmmaker who is creating this now feature-length documentary of Liberty at Stake, the Joshua Glover story. We have more special stories from behind the scenes and the next plans for Liberty at Stake here on What's on Tap. Stay with us.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
We shall walk through the valley in peace. We shall walk through.
You're listening to What's on Tap as we put the spotlight on a documentary called Liberty at Stake, the Joshua Glover story. And in the studio with me is filmmaker Michael Jarre, and also from the Milwaukee High School of the Arts, Raymond Roberts. And Raymond, what are we hearing?
That is an arrangement of the spiritual We Shall Walk Through the Valley in Peace by Undine Smith Moore, who was the professor at Hampton Institute. And it's really kind of a paraphrasing of the 23rd Psalm, focusing in on images and messages of comfort and peace, particularly in the light of the struggles and the horrors of oppression that people experienced through slavery. And so these images and this message was kind of really embraced by African Americans as this spiritual came around in the 1850s to really provide that comfort and that idea that we can get through this.
So when you found out that Michael Jarre was making a film about Joshua Glover and had already created a short documentary and now expanding it into a feature-length documentary, it's incredible to me that you immediately thought, this is local history. This is important to the students that I teach choral music to at the Milwaukee High School of the Arts. We have to be involved. And now you've come together, you're collaborating. How many songs total did you record for the film?
We did three songs, Joshua Fit the Battle, We Shall Walk Through the Valley in Peace, and Way Over in Beulah Land.
And you can see the videos on the YouTube channel.
The Liberty at Stake YouTube page.
And they are stunning. And that song right there, Walk in Peace, when I was doing research for tonight's interview, the very, very beginning of that song, I'm getting choked up thinking about it. It's angelic. It is truly stunning and moving. That's just watching these students sing in a band shell stage. So I can only imagine it supplementing the powerful story of Joshua Glover.
Yeah, you can imagine as we lay this out over particular scenes or through the storytelling that it's just going to enhance the story. It's just going to be very powerful, very dramatic. And so I'm excited to see how it all works in as we go forward.
And Michael, now you've got another partner in Raymond Roberts and all of your students and all the parents who now are particularly engaged with this story, who are going to want to follow along and see the progress of this film. So share with us, what are the updates and the progress and maybe when we can actually see the final film.
Yeah, we're very close to finishing up phase one, which is the production, all the interviews, the research, capturing the B-roll film and so on. We just had an opportunity that just came up where we're going to actually be able to interview Alan Guelzo, who is a renowned historian, author on Lincoln, the Civil War, and he has taught in his classrooms about the Joshua Glover story and the cases that follow, where Wisconsin said basically we're not going to abide by the fugitive slave law. So he's like booked until 2027, but he said for us he would carve out a window if we could get to Gettysburg on July 23rd, which is in about a week, and he would sit down with us and be a part of this production, which is fantastic.
What an honor. Yeah, you have to jump on that.
Yeah, but if I can make a plea to your listeners, we are raising money. We are a nonprofit endeavor, and we would love for people to help us to make this next stage to actually go to Gettysburg. We didn't have a budget for that. We didn't expect that.
Sure, it's a gift in the way of the gift of time. But it's like, now we have to, and we have to get there
now
and
we have
with
to get
our
a crew
equipment.
There and, yeah. yeah, several yeah. days and so on. The other thing is, we are trying to update our mini documentary, as I mentioned, and we want to incorporate some of this music, and so we need to re-up some of our music licensing from prior. So if we're going to shift this, we need to go back to the people who let us use music in the original mini documentary and arrange to I guess probably pay them for new licensing. So a couple of things that we need to do very rapid fundraising on, and we would love people to go to our website at lasfilm.com, and there's a button at the top where you can click and make a tax-deductible donation. So.
And lasfilm.com is also where you can watch the current version, but can you also get information about the July 29th event in Eau Claire?
I don't believe we have that up there yet, but we will. Yeah.
That's also, you have social media as well.
Yes, exactly.
You're 21st century.
Right,
but
cutting edge.
Thank you for all that you're doing. LASfilm.com is where to
find liberty at stake and follow along with this story. I'm so excited to see both of you collaborate, and I'm excited to see what other collaborations come about unexpectedly through the admiration of you telling this story and making sure that this stays alive. I mean, John Ridley was excited about your documentary, the Academy Award winner for screenwriting for 12 Years a Slave. Yeah. So when he says, wow, you go, this is really important, and wants to talk to you on his podcast all about documentaries, you know you're doing the right thing and your mission is in the right place.
And you can watch that on our website as well, the Perfect. Interview with John, which was great.
Thank you very much. I wish you well, and I look forward to our next visit and our next update. Michael Jarr, filmmaker, and Raymond Roberts of Milwaukee High School of the Arts. When's the first day of school?
Oh, it's coming up. I'm in the summer session now, but kids come back on September 1st.
Enjoy the rest of these weeks of summertime.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thanks so much. We've got a gallery night preview. What's happening at Skylight Music Theater? Find out next on What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. Handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. And I am telling you, you want to text in the word WATCH to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text line. Text the word WATCH to 855-616-1620 so you can not only see the artist who is in the studio with me, you can see some of her vibrant, colorful, beautiful artwork inspired by Door County. It is my pleasure to welcome to the WTMJ studio artist Karen Elwing. Karen, how are you?
I am wonderful, Sandy. Thank you so much for having me.
It is absolutely my pleasure. I think I'm going to move some... Oh, good. Our producer, Isaac, just adjusted the camera angle so we can get both the beautiful flowers that you have painted behind you and the goats. Of course, when you think of Door County, these are not goats on a roof, though.
They're not goats on a roof. They're just curious goats.
With a trio. I love them. And I love your brush strokes. There's
Thank
such
you.
An energy. And I went to, you know, got to do my research, but it was fun to go to your Facebook page.
Okay.
And is it Door County Artworks?
That's correct.
Door County Artworks. And to see, it was like, oh, I have such colorful, bright paintings.
Yes, I do love color.
This is a good thing. So we're going to find you at Skylight Music Theater.
Yes.
On gallery night on Friday.
Correct, Friday.
What a unique space to
be in. Oh, it's a wonderful space. Terrific people to work with. Susan, the director, is fabulous, and she's just been so accommodating. I'll be on the first floor just inside the doors.
Great. And that means we'll also be able probably to see your artwork through the window there as you're walking by
on
Broadway.
Yes, I believe. Yes, we will be right in front of the window there.
That will draw some people in, sit on the couches and enjoy your beautiful artwork. Broadway and Brushstrokes is what our friends at Skylight Music Theater have titled this evening.
And very good marketing.
I love alliteration.
Yes.
But I love that you're having a great experience with our partners at Skylight Music Theater and that they embrace gallery night in every way, and including visual art. How did you get to know the folks at Skylight Music Theater?
Yes, I was contacted through Jordan, who is the marketing person at Gallery Night MKE, and she's the one that got Susan and I together, and it was just...
A matchmaker.
Came together. It was good.
Because it really is a lovely space inside that Broadway Theater Center, and to have it winds up being a very social space during performances.
Yes.
So it makes sense to extend the socialness.
And I believe there's a karaoke performance happening also.
Sure, upstairs in the cabaret, and that music will trickle down and those good vibrations. So
a lot of creative things.
Yes, and so tell us about your artwork. What inspires you to paint?
So I am a Wisconsin oil paint artist, and I'm inspired by Door County. I was fortunate enough to live there for 8 years and owned and operated a small gallery that showed my work. And I was always, because of the time I spent up there, I had a lot of opportunities to take reference pictures and do paintings of the area, and just became, you know, so in love with it. Now I'm in southeastern Wisconsin. We had a little change of direction there, and I've put my work online at DoorCountyArtworks.com. And so I'm just still inspired, though, by that Door County feeling, and I just, that's what my focus is.
I say, now, painters paint, creators create, and that's one of the reasons that you are an artist. That's a way to express your feelings.
Correct.
Can you somehow articulate, though, what it is about that space in Door County that really appeals to you and really brings out the painting creativity in you?
It is a difficult thing to define, but I have to say that a lot of people go there for the scenery, which is the first encounter they have. But once they're there, it's the feeling. It's the slower pace. It's the beautiful towns that are, some of those buildings are hundreds of years old and very welcoming, and just the orchards and the beautiful shoreline. It's just a whole different vibe, and it's always something that I think people want to always go back to, and they do. I've got stories from people that say, I've been coming here for 30 years, or I've been coming here, you know, since I was a kid, and my grandma has a place here, and I hear that story so many times, and so it's just a place people want to come back to.
In all seasons, you certainly
in all seasons,
County, yeah, in the summertime, and driving those winding country roads,
oh,
and seeing the gardens,
so pretty,
but it is beautiful at all times of the year.
Correct.
Well, I am with artist Karen Elwing, who specializes in the Door County vibe and her very colorful paintings. You can see them on Gallery Night Friday at the Skylight Music Theater as part of Gallery Night MKE. You'll be there from 5 till 9 there on the first floor. And we're also going to have a showing on Saturday. So stay with us. We'll give you more of our Gallery Night preview with Karen Elwing and her beautiful, colorful paintings. Stay with us on What's on Tap.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, another Gallery Night preview, because I want to help you make the most of this great event. 40 locations all around historic Third Ward, East Town, Walker's Point.
So cool.
Yeah, you can stroll around, pop in a space that you've never been in before, or go to a space that you haven't been to for a while, and just soak in the art. And a lot of places that you go to on Gallery Night, the artist is there. And when you go to Skylight Music Theater, you're going to meet the artist that's in the studio with me right now, Wisconsin oil painter Karen Elwing. Thank you for joining me on a Wednesday night.
Pleasure to be here, Sandy. Thank
and
you.
And bringing in two of your colorful, beautiful paintings. And I wish I had a better word than beautiful, but colorful. I like the wide brush strokes that you use.
I hear joyful a lot.
Joyful. I could see that because the floral painting that you have behind you, and you can see it if you text the word watch to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text Line. Text watch to 855-616-1620 and you can see these artworks. And of course, you have DoorCountyArtworks.com and social media and Facebook. But I had seen one of these floral paintings on your Facebook page. So when I walked out in the green room and you have it on an easel, I was stunned. I was like, oh, it's even more engaging and compelling in person. So I think that makes the point of Gallery Night, where you can see things online and enjoy them and like them.
So much better in person.
Yeah, to really get the depth and more of the expression.
Yes, absolutely.
So you've brought in, what's the name of the painting of flowers behind you?
This is called On the Fence.
Okay.
And this is obviously three goats. So.
Obviously, if you could see, but you could have had a different name, you know, for the trio of goats who are looking at me.
Yes.
But it is with the wide brush strokes, yet you still get the depth, and there's the forest behind and the sky and the grass blades. It's really compelling. So it's very exciting. I also saw on your social media, Karen, it is summertime.
Yes.
Were you painting outside today?
That was yesterday, actually. Yes.
Yesterday in the heat.
Yes. I love summer. I don't care. It goes fast. I want to be engaging in summer.
Karen, that's a dedicated artist when it is 95 with the heat advisory and you're like,
in the shade.
You know, but still, you know what I want to do? I want to get my easel and my paint. So what inspired you to do plein air painting yesterday in the 90-degree weather?
It was just such a beautiful day. I mean, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. We were by the lake. I thought, this is you got to take advantage of the moments. It's, you know, that's just the way it is. And when you can paint, you got to go paint.
You're normally inspired by Door County.
I am.
And photos you've taken and the feeling there. What was the feeling that you were getting and where were you yesterday for this?
I was at Bark Lake. It was gorgeous out. The water was super smooth. The lily pads were all lit up with the sunlight. And it was just a pleasant day. I took in the tree that was by me and just it came together.
And you made one painting?
I just made one.
And then where will that painting be? Will you display it at gallery night?
I might bring it along, yes. The problem is it's oil, and it takes about 4 or 5 days to dry really good. So there's always this waiting time for the drying period. So if it's dry enough, I'll bring it along.
Sure, but now it's part of the collection.
It's part of the collection, yes. It'll be available soon.
So Friday from 5 till 9, you're set up on the first floor at Skylight Music Theater. When somebody walks in, what can they expect?
Yes, so I will have my original oil paintings there, and I also have my Jaclet prints. I do get my Jaclet prints done locally in Green Bay. The lady there photographs my work, and she prints the paper prints. They're on museum quality paper and also on canvas. And so those will be there, and those are available also on my website. And then these are a few of the prints.
Ooh.
So that's, and then I do gifts.
It's sailboats on the water.
Yeah, I do gifty stuff, like I do tote bags and some pillows with my images.
A throw pillow with that scene on the lake is perfect for any lake house.
Totally.
You have real Wisconsin art inspired by Door County and Wisconsin space.
Travel pouches. This was the original image. And there's the goats.
There's the trio of goats. But I like that also. I think a lot of people, when they say, I know that, that's Wilson's. And so Ephraim, right?
Yeah, we're like,
the red and white stripes. Well, we've been talking about frozen custard tonight because it's been so hot.
Oh,
so
yes.
The ultimate space to get ice cream in Door County, Wilson's and Ephraim. Even I know that. An iconic space. So again, to have paintings, true artworks of some of these treasured spaces, we all can take a photo on our digital camera. That's cool. But to really have art is beautiful. And I love that you also have the tote bags and the throw pillows, because I think a lot of people, if they go to gallery night, kind of think like, well, if I'm a collector or if I'm going to get art, it's going to be something I have to hang on a wall or put on a shelf like a small sculpture. This is art you can truly carry with you or have as part of your interior decor.
Yes, or a simple gift, you know, an artful gift, easily done and available right there. So they're ready to go.
And what is your favorite thing about meeting art enthusiasts? Because it's definitely social at gallery night. Has there been a...
it's so wonderful meeting people in person. Just talking to other artists, and we can discuss the way we do things, or the novice who just wants to know more about it. It's just a pleasure to meet everybody and all the different opinions and ideas. It's awesome.
It will be a special night. Go meet Karen Elwing, Wisconsin oil painter. She is going to be at Skylight Music Theater, what they're calling Brush Strokes and Broadway. You are the Brush Strokes, unless will you be singing some Broadway tunes?
Well, I don't know.
5 till 9 on Friday as part of Gallery Night MKE at Skylight Music Theater. Thank you so much for sharing your artwork with us here tonight and on Gallery Night.
Thank you, Sandy.
We look forward.
A pleasure.
My pleasure too. She is Karen Elwing, and we have more coming up on What's on Tap.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
Thank you so much for hanging out with me on What's on Tap for this supersized episode. And 3 hours is still not enough to share all the art stories that I would love to share with you. It has been a lot of fun these past 2 nights giving you Gallery Night MKE previews. And you can catch up on the What's on Tap podcast. And if you haven't already subscribed, I highly recommend it. You can get a link easily if you just text the word TAP, T-A-P, to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. Text the word TAP. And we'll send you a link to the What's on Tap podcast to catch up. So I really appreciate you joining me. And I appreciate all the artists
who spent time with me this evening. And I want to remind you, I'll leave you with a laugh. My comedy announcement earlier today was that Leanne Morgan added a second showtime to her October 17th appearance at Miller High Life Theater in downtown Milwaukee. So October 17th, she had a later show. Now she's got a 4 o'clock show. And if you want to see how funny Leanne from Tennessee, she's got a big old Southern drawl, is check out her Netflix special. It's one of the most watched stand-up specials ever, especially by a female comedian. It's called I'm Every Woman. And she's got a fun sense of humor. She's down to earth. This is a sample of Leanne Morgan that might give you a giggle.
Okay, are there any teachers in here? Okay, we didn't hear them clap big because they raised their hand. I don't know how y'all do it. God did not call me to do it. If I was a teacher, I'd be running out this highway with my bra on the outside of my clothes. My teachers for my children were wonderful and helped me so much. And they liked me, and I love them, and they invited me on every field trip. They did. I got to go on every field trip with 3 children. And y'all know why they invited me? Because I'm fun. And I'm not a butthole. So if you're not getting invited on the field trips, you may want to look inward.
Leanne Morgan, she will be at Miller High Life Theater now for a second show, an earlier show on October 17th, 4 o'clock showtime, Miller High Life Theater, Leanne Morgan. And her Tennessee drawl just sounds right on a summer night, doesn't it? But I got to interview her a couple years ago on What's on Tap, and a really nice person, too. So that's my comedy update for you. Leanne Morgan, Saturday, October 14th, a 4 o'clock show added. Thank you so much, and I will meet you back here again tomorrow, starting at 6 for What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee.